making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaylen Brown gets in, flushes hard with the left hand. And on a night, LeBron James becomes the NBA's all-time leading scorer against the Boston Celtics. He drops 44, and the Eastern Conference Finals, once a best of seven, is now a best of three. Cavs get game four by a final of 111-102. The best of three begins Wednesday night in Boston.
Yeah, well, that didn't go so well last night. If there's one positive I could take away from the game, it's that it felt like the Celtics were shooting themselves in the foot all night long.
Yeah, it wasn't Saturday.
Right, it wasn't the Cavs just taking it to the Celtics. Right. It felt like the Celtics had opportunities to get back into the game and make it close. And they blew them repeatedly.
Yeah.
Which is on them and not on Cleveland.
And I've heard other people say this, and I'm not going to do that today, that the Celtics blew that game, that they had a chance to win that game.
No, I didn't say they were going
to
win.
In that game.
They had a chance to be far more competitive in the game than they actually were.
Right.
Which is why I take that and say, well, that's different from Game 3. Game 3, they just got beat down.
Yeah.
I mean, they just got their ass kicked. This game, it felt like they weren't great, and they were very sloppy at times. I mean, the missed dunks, the missed layups.
Yep.
There were so many easy things to look at in this game and say, oh, this thing could have been so much closer. And when you give yourself a chance and you keep it close and you're competitive, you get to the fourth quarter in the NBA, and anything can happen. Really.
Yeah.
And based on the fact that you won the first two games of this series, you could win. You could win a game that you kept yourself in because you did things right.
10 points are nothing. Nothing in three possessions. And you look at the Celtics, you get to the foul line and you miss the foul shot. I think it was Marcus Morris to get it down to six. Next thing you know, they come down, they hit one, bang. It's back up to 10. And a swing. They missed 14 layups and dunks in total. How do you miss that many dunks? What is it when Baines is your best dunker? Really? In game four? Baines, the only guy could really throw it down. Like, that's not good. And they get 7 points in transition off that.
Here's something I want to get out of the way.
That's a big point swing.
The officiating did not determine the outcome of the game.
No, both bad calls both ways. No way. You can't sit here and call the show today.
I feel like we should put a rule in.
It's a Felger-Maz rule.
No ref blaming today?
Yes.
As much as I'm ready to do that with you when it actually occurs.
Can't do it today.
Because you know my thoughts on the NBA refs, and you know my thoughts. I spent how much time on Scott Foster yesterday. Here's the problem for the Celtics. You didn't make it close enough for Scott Foster to screw you over. You didn't. That's on you.
Can we talk about the refs and not as part of the outcome of the game, or just how terrible they were without saying it had an outcome in the game?
Absolutely.
Right.
Because there was one call.
There were some funny moments in that game.
Oh, sure.
There was quite possibly.
Calls on
game.
Fouls where guys were just barely brushed. Calls where they got no calls. Balls out of bounds. Oh, went off that guy's hand. You got that one wrong.
There was quite possibly the worst call I've ever seen, maybe in the history of the NBA last night.
Which one? The ref being out of bounds?
No, that was not.
That was the worst one.
What are you talking about?
How about the one where Kevin Love sweeps the leg of Marcus Morris and Morris gets called for the foul? That to me was one of the worst calls of the night. I mean, that one was brutal.
Van Gundy and Mark Jackson agreed with everything the refs called.
Early
the whole
third
game.
Quarter, right at the start of the third quarter.
Did they not have a big monitor to look at? Was their monitor like
Jason
three
Tatum
by
got
five
whacked
inches?
On the wrist going up for a dunk, and the ball came out of his hands after he got whacked on the wrist, and Van Gundy goes, oh, good call.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. So, listen, they were bad, but the Celtics didn't make it close enough or didn't, you know, capitalize on dunks and layups to keep themselves in it. And that doesn't even factor in, though. All the other things that went wrong again for the Celtics, defensively, they are still all sorts of confused. They are having issues with the switches like they did in game three. And Terry Rozier had a horrible night defensively. Man, that was a rough go of it for Terry Rozier. And that doesn't even factor any of that stuff in. If they just hit the layups, make the dunks, they're in that thing. They're in it. But they didn't.
Yeah, but they didn't. That's the story. That is it. You can't sit here and say they blew it. People say they should have won that game. No, you should not have won that game. Game should have been closer at the end.
That's the way I felt. And should have been closer, but...
A little reality check on LeBron James' front, too. I mean, you have no answer for him defensively.
Did it seem like he scored 44 last night?
I thought he was 30, and then I saw 44.
Was that a quiet 44?
I got my kids.
Seemed like an un-LeBron-like 44 points because of the way he started. He didn't touch the ball for like the first 4 or 5 possessions.
Now, my kids aren't like big NBA fans, but I had them come downstairs and sit and watch it. I said, Dad, what are you making them do this for? I said, well, because I want, in the future, when this guy's done, to say, you watch LeBron James play. They're like, Jesus, he's powerful.
Yeah, I mean, nearly all of his points were coming in the paint.
Just a freaking...
It wasn't like he was, you know...
Freight train.
Big-time shots.
He wasn't hitting those fall-away three-pointers from...
He didn't have to.
12 feet beyond the arc.
He didn't really look for that.
That was game two,
no,
right?
Until he had to hit the dagger.
Oh,
exactly.
To get him up 14 at the end. Then
exactly.
He hit it.
But that's late. So you don't think of that as him taking over. But when it needs to be there, it's there.
You getting out coach a little bit?
It's starting to feel that way, but I also can't figure out if it's the fact that the bench is so short for the Celtics and they have so little available to them. So, I mean, when Semi Ojeleye makes it into the game,
yeah, but
you want to, you know, throw up in your mouth a little bit at times,
they didn't adjust on the Rozier pick and rolls, too. I mean, they're going to get LeBron on Rozier every time. They're just going to go pick. Next thing you know, they switch. Brilliant. Brilliant by Cleveland.
I couldn't believe the Baines Morris substitution. Did you like that
Baines play when nobody was around him?
That was smooth.
And Horford is directing him toward the basket. Turn around and go that way. You've got a clear lane.
Was that when Embiid got on him on Twitter? Was that the point when Joel Embiid said,
no, because
man,
he didn't get dunked on that play. But it was around that time. So it's like maybe... Steven says, all right, he's not seeing the floor very well right now. I got to get him out of there. But then you put Morris in. My God, I've never seen someone so trigger happy on the shot than Morris. I mean, Marcus Smart is a good comparison for guys who can't really shoot, guys who love to shoot. But Smart will occasionally make his. So it's like Morris just like, and he doesn't look for the pass. He just holds on to the ball. He thinks he's a ball handler, and he's dribbling around. He goes inside. He falls away. I'm like, would you kick it outside? Everybody else does.
You like that when he got the fall through with the one hand up in the air, and he's falling back?
Oh, just God. Oh, God. When he came in for Baines, I'm like, what are you doing? I don't like
that. They couldn't get the rotations right. The matchups. I mean, every matchup favored Cleveland, and Korver killed you. Kyle freaking Korver.
Yeah, Korver showed up big time last night. That's a Kyle Korver when he shows up.
He was hitting J.J. Redick-type shots, just the off-balance leaners, you know, 5 feet beyond the arc. Jim, did you find the postgame with Tommy and Mike that we watched? Did you find that yet?
Yeah.
We'll find it at some point. All of a sudden, the locals aren't feeling too good about the series.
Well... I don't think that the Celtics are done.
No, they're
not
done.
I don't think that. Game five. This is it, though. They need game five.
You know what it is? Three-game series.
Well, it's an odd game. That's not important.
It's a three-game series.
No.
It's an odd, you're an even game, no. Guy. It's an odd game. It's not that important.
Well, no. Here's the thing. But the odd game only became important because of the outcome of the even game, Jim. You see what I mean? So it only became important because of the way the game four went. They need game five. They don't win game five, I don't feel they can win the series.
Sneaky important game five.
I don't think it's sneaky.
Zoe said it was over, though, last week. He told me it was over last Wednesday.
It is over, Jim.
Yeah, I thought they would have went and taken at least one, and you come back home 3-1, over.
It's amazing.
I didn't think you were going to get swept
in Cleveland, okay?
I'm not predicting. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in this series, but I do know that they got to win game five. I don't feel like they can go back to Cleveland and win.
Cleveland's feeling pretty good.
They don't look like a team that can win on the road in Cleveland. They don't.
Nope.
Based on the last two games.
Poor
based
starts.
On those two games,
poor
they ain't winning a game there. They've got to do it all at home. 617-779-0985. Bring your Celtics thoughts to the table. What does it mean for the series going forward? Some of the other points of the night, including Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier. We'll get to some of that. Ty Lue, Cavaliers head coach. Is he having himself a series now? We'll get to that. But... today, 10:30 a.m., Bill Belichick is going to speak to the media And
I think it's a big
one. This is from OTAs where Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are not present. So Belichick, late availability here. He's going to be available at 10:30. He's going to speak to the media live. And when he does, we will carry it live. So don't go anywhere. That's coming up.
It's going to be very telling how he handles this at the beginning. Is he going
tone.
To get out?
What's his tone?
No, is he going to get out in front of it before the questions start? Just like he did at the start of the OTAs and the offseason program.
Yeah, we've got all this
same
coming
thing
up
with the draft.
So don't go anywhere.
Are they aliens? Zulak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are now back to reality here. Reality of relying on a second-year player to score 20-plus points, a rookie to score 20-plus points, a point guard in his third year who got his starting opportunity about a month and a half ago, him to score over 20 points. And boy, I'll tell you, they've taken us a long way. This is the balance of this series is going to be a tough one for the Celtics.
Too young.
Don't do that yet. Do not do that yet. Start making the excuses for them.
What?
Start talking about how great of a run it was.
Yet. Did you hear the phones yesterday?
It's not over. It's not over yet, gentlemen.
Green Teamers don't call after losses.
No, they don't.
They don't.
Oh,
they
here
go,
it is.
They go into hiding.
Josh in the car. Josh, what do you got for
Hi,
us
Hi, Josh.
Oh, hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, it's funny. You just said Green Teamers don't call in after losses, so that's why I'm calling.
Good.
All right, so listen. Let me make two quick points because I think you'll probably agree. Look, Tommy's right. I mean, these guys have done a great job, especially Rozier, but I don't know if you guys have seen the last two games. The body language of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they're starting to complain about calls. They're kind of looking
Bingo.
Around. They're like, and you can see it. Like, I don't know if you guys saw last game, game three, there was a timeout. Cleveland was up like 27-28, and you could see Jaylen Brown like rolled his eyes at Stevens. It kind of was like staring off into space. Listen, Cleveland's in their head now. Now, this is part of the maturation process. This is good for them long term. But the problem is we're just expecting too much. These guys are – look, they're far exceeding what we've wanted them to do this series, I think.
Those two guys are your shot.
Wait a minute.
Jaylen Brown kept you in that game last night.
It's too much to expect to hit their layups and make their dunks 14 times last night? 14 points last night they left out there?
Listen, they did leave a lot of layups and dunks out there, but again, I just think mentally right now, I just don't think that they're at the same level where they will be in a year, give or take. I mean, Jaylen Brown went through this last year, but I mean, Tatum, I'm watching every single time Tatum's going to the basket, he's literally looking at the ref to say, like, to throw his arms up in the air, like, am I getting calls? They're not just playing ball anymore.
Okay, that's true, Josh.
Tatum isn't.
Yes. Good call, even though I disagree with some of that. I think Cleveland, you said Cleveland's in their head. I think Cleveland, the city, Cleveland, the building, the road is in their head.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see that same reaction and same body language from the young players on this team when they come back here to play game five.
Best shot.
I don't think you're going to see that. You're going to see them go back to what they look like in games one and two.
You extend a series, best shot you have is because you're playing two of those games at home.
By the way, throw Terry Rozier into that group of young players as well. That lets the road get to them. Because the road gets to some of these guys. It does. It's hard to play on the road. Home court is important for this team. It has been all playoffs long. So let's not write them off yet, though.
These are the kids that carried you.
I thought Jaylen Brown turned a corner in the second half last night.
They were better in the second half last night than they were in game three. Yeah, they were defeated in game three. I know the body language he's talking about. I was shocked to see Brown Saturday night hang the head the way he did. And I'm not talking in the final 4 minutes where it's fait accompli. I mean, you know the game's over. I'm talking early in that game. They're getting their ass kicked first half. Heads are hanging. Walking to the bench. Sitting on the bench. Sulking. That's what young kids do, though. We still got to remember how old they are. That's what Tommy's saying. But these kids are good enough to carry you to get here. So get them in front of the home court and see what the hell happens. Best thing you have going is two of these next three are at home, if it goes seven. And that favors the Celtics. I'm sorry. It favors the Celtics, even with LeBron scoring 40 a game.
You can't say that you're expecting too much by saying, hey, guys, make sure you land the layups.
And Baines, have a little wherewithal on the court, like it, spacing.
Okay. Bad moment for him, but last night, Baines did not have a bad night.
No.
In fact, I thought he should be out there more.
Right.
How many minutes did he have last night?
Should have started.
Yeah, he didn't start. There you go, right there. You can't let the Cavs get off to a run like that, like you did.
Yep. Problem. How many? I'm going to check it right now. Get the box score up. Baines last night had 16 minutes. I thought he could have afforded a few more.
That's all he played was 16 minutes?
16 minutes, that's not enough. Not enough.
I just don't want him to get out to that jump. The Cavs get out to that big jump every game, and they need somebody out there playing defense.
This, to me, is a problem. Semi Ojeleye with 9 minutes in the game last night, and Aaron Baines with 16. That's a problem. 9 is far too many. That's on Brad Stevens.
Okay.
That is on Brad Stevens. What are you playing Semi for? Shemmy.
I mean, you
me.
Had to. Shemmy. Marcus Morris had 12 fouls in the first 10 minutes of the game. Who else do you want against LeBron? He plays decent defense against LeBron.
Yeah. You want the plus minus? That's all the green teamers love plus minus when they talk about Marcus Smart. His was on negative 14 last night.
He was killing you early.
Yep.
I thought Morris and Mark and Smart killed you early.
I'll say this for Ojeleye. On cue, he comes into the game last night after Morris is shooting every time he gets his hands on the ball. And same thing with Marcus Smart. And I say out loud, I'm like, well, here comes Ojeleye. At least he won't shoot the ball when he gets it in his hands because he knows he can't shoot. The very first time he touches the ball is down in the corner and he hits a three. Like, well, that just goes to show that I know nothing.
Well, I thought Marcus Smart took a lot of good threes last night. I thought his threes really were clutch, came at the right times, weren't at all a momentum killer when the Celtics were trying to get back into the game. I thought his threes, I said, yeah, you let it fly, Marcus. You let it fly. When you got one? I think he had 1 3.
How many times on your bench did you scream no?
I mean, you know it's going, no!
But with Marcus, every once in a while, he will hit them. But what doesn't change is the fact that there's almost always another option. There's always options when Marcus Smart and Morris have the ball. That hardly ever are they shooting out of necessity. No, you
they
could
shoot because they like to shoot. They like it. It's fun.
Shoot.
Let it fly, baby. Let it fly. Bill Belichick is going to speak in Foxborough coming up just minutes from now. And when he does, we are going to cover it live. That is coming up right after this. So don't go anywhere.
Sports Hub headlines.
Series now tied at 2 after the Cavaliers beat the Celtics 111-102 last night in Cleveland. Now, Marcus Morris and the Green return to the Garden for Game 5. If Marcus were to talk about it, he would sound like this.
I mean, it definitely helped. You know, playing at home is, you know, has always been good to us. But, you know, we did want to get one of these games. But, you know, circumstances, we go home and take care of business and, you know, go from there.
Out west, it'll be Golden State and Houston playing Game 4 tonight. The Warriors 2-1 series lead. They are in Oakland tonight. Red Sox play the first of three against the Rays. They're at Tropicana Field this evening. Chris Sale gets the start in the first of three. Headlines are brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage business and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand. It is no longer wise to ignore us. On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I love that this is in the rotation now. I love it! 10:30 here on Zolak and Bertrand. Bill Belichick was set to speak at 10:30, but the Patriots have pushed him back by 5 minutes. Which would have been really helpful if they had told us that 10 minutes ago. But we're going to go to your calls on the Celtics before we get to Bill Belichick. Hear what he has to say about no Rob Gronkowski, no Tom Brady at OTAs. Does he just give you the voluntary company line, or does he say something? Does he get out ahead of it? Does he reference it before being asked about it? Those are all questions we have. But Celtics last night, in what could have been a close one, what could have been a competitive one, but they shot themselves in the foot repeatedly. Let's go to Dominic in Newton. Hi, Dominic.
What's up, boys?
Hey,
what's
Dominic?
What's up, Joe?
What's up?
Hey, check it out.
Hey.
Doesn't Marcus Morris sound like he has a bunch of Monopoly pieces in his mouth when he interviews? It's kind of crazy. Anyway.
That happens to me some days.
Yeah. Hey, so... The reason why I called is I'm kind of confused about this team because one is, like you guys talked about earlier, they hit their dunks and, you know, what was it, 14 points they left off the table. They hit all those yesterday, and do they not go in the lead and have a chance to win that game? And then also, you know, I think everybody's wondering about, you know, them possibly, you know, talking about winning the series and all this and that. I just think they've came to the point that they're going to come to, and that's it with them. I mean, they did us a solid.
Yeah, it feels like everyone's wanting to throw in the towel on the Celtics today. I don't get it. It's 2-2. It's 2-2. Brad Stevens said 2-2 after the game
coming
last
home,
night.
Too. You know, I mean, I was defeated here in Tommy and Mike immediately after the game. Like, they were crushed. Low reality check, boys. Okay. Still tied.
I mean, the reality check, if you're looking for that, or you're trying to
what,
say there
LeBron,
was one.
LeBron's good.
The reality check would have been game three.
Yeah.
Last night's not the reality check.
Right.
Last what the hell are these guys talking about?
Last night you tried.
The reality check is game three when they beat you soundly and LeBron only took 12 shots.
Yes.
That's the reality
check. Reality check would have been game three, not game four. Game four you look 44. At and say, what the hell?
I didn't know
guys.
LeBron could go off for 44.
You really?
Kidding? Really?
Not only that, his 44, as Hardy said, was a quiet 44. He took what was given. He had a lot of points in the paint. He didn't have any of these big dagger killer shots that you know he's capable of taking. He didn't need to be that guy. He took what was there. I don't know how that's the reality check last night.
Yeah, Saturday night he broke your will.
What's and again, we go back. It's too much to expect you to hit your dunks and your layups. Like, what? That's not an unfair expectation.
I mean, even the aerial view, you know, through the backboard, and you see him and the ball's coming in. They weren't even close. Just like throw it at the rim. It's a guy. It's like a guy who can't dunk. You know, guy's first starting to get it. Well, I got to throw it down. No, you stuff the damn ball down.
They just have some matchup things that haven't worked. They've got switches that they can't seem to get done. There's things that are happening defensively for the Celtics that are an issue.
Something that we thought potentially could be a strength, where you could use multiple bodies to combat LeBron and wear him down and make him tired.
To Foxborough we go for head coach Bill Belichick.
Okay. Be working with everybody in phase three. We're able to do a little bit in phase two against air and get some teaching instruction, but this is much better. Able to progress faster and just do more with our team starting yesterday and for the next couple of weeks. So it's always good to get to that point. We have a lot of new players on the team. Some we got a couple weeks ago, and other guys that have come to us at different points. But it's kind of good to get everybody out there, and we have rehab and so forth. So, but it's you know, good step in the process. We got a long, long way to go, a lot of work to do. So we'll just take it one day at a time and keep moving forward. But it's been a good group, and had a lot of good leadership, a lot of young guys taking more active roles, and as well as having some other guys that Julian, Hightower, guys like that didn't play much last year that are obviously involved in things now. So, but in any case, new team, new year. Yeah. Like I said, we'll just take it one step at a time and keep moving along. So,
Bill, Tom's not here today. Have you guys spoken at length about?
Yeah, I'm not gonna talk about the people that aren't here. The guys that are here are improving. They're working hard, and those are the guys we're going to focus on.
You mentioned the leadership in some of the young players that maybe have stepped up leadership-wise. Does anyone stand out to you?
Yeah, a lot of them do.
Is it challenging to, not have your starting quarterback, to be your backup and your third-string quarterback?
Not everybody's working, but all the guys that are out here working are improving, and it's a great opportunity for them and for our team to come together. That's what's happening.
I imagine you saw that Wesley Cross made it to the national championship.
Yeah, John's done a great job with the team, and always tough going against those Maryland teams, but I'm sure John will have him there.
He had mentioned he's going to play next season, he talked about coming to meet with you, and he called it a productive meeting. You share the same view of that time when Rob came in to meet with you?
Yeah, like I said, I'm focused on the guys that are here, and those are the guys that we're working with in this OTA process in Phase 3. And those are the guys I'm concentrating on. That's who we're focused on.
Coach, how important are OTAs in laying the foundation for your year? How important is it for guys to be here?
Well, we got a long way to go, as I said. We got a long, long way to go. Each day is an opportunity for us, and try to make the most out of every opportunity. So we do all year long.
What did you like about Sonny Michel coming out of college?
Yeah, I think Nick covered all that. Nick did a great job with the draft, going through all the people and everything. So I was just second what he said.
You drafted wide receiver Braxton Berrios in the seventh round. What stuck out to you most about him?
Was same thing. Yeah, same thing.
What do we expect of Julian as he continues to work his way back? What are your expectations?
Our expectations are day to day. Like I said, every day is an opportunity for us individually and as a team to improve and get better and take another step towards the start of the season. And that's what we're all doing. All of us are in different states, different parts of that process, but wherever we are, we're all gaining on it.
Are you still learning?
Okay, that is Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. If anything of note is said in that press availability, we will have it for you. So don't worry, you're not going to miss anything there. And it doesn't sound like there's anything to miss because Bill Belichick is in mid-season form, not even willing to talk about any of his draft picks, just seconding what Nick Caserio said back at the draft. Also, would not address any of the players who are not there. That includes Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, saying, only going to talk about the players who are here, that are working hard, that are getting better, that are coming together as a team.
Now, that is it's sort of standard. As far as, you know, he'll only talk about guys that are there. He's always been that way. And that's the consistent part of it. But he could have put this thing to bed, saying, hey, I've spoken with both Tom and Rob. We expect them here at some point. We're not worried about it, but we're trying to get these young kids up and running. He didn't deter any of the commentary regarding, is this good by Brady, bad by Brady? Is this fraudulent by Brady? Any of that. Seems like he's a little bugged by it.
I wouldn't put it on him to have to put that to bed. What does he have to do? He's there. He's working.
A lot of good leadership. A lot of good young leadership.
That's right.
Again, to my captaincy point yesterday. Not a big deal. He's not captain, but
no, I just don't care.
He stressed that young kids we're getting young leadership, not veteran leadership. We're getting good young leadership.
Wasn't that sort of the question, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sort of set him up for that.
I really like the Wesleyan lacrosse question.
Yeah, who was that?
That guy should just turn around and go home. Whoever that was. No use you being even down there.
Do me a solid, Patriots. Revoke his credential.
Yeah.
Who the hell goes in there and like third question in asks that nonsense on a day where Brady and Gronk aren't there? Idiot.
Coach, see a Wesleyan lacrosse.
You know, did you see how Wesleyan's doing well? Yeah. Oh.
It's kind of cold paint in your building.
Oh, it's so annoying. Get out of the way.
That's tool bag question of the day.
Tool bag of the day, period.
What did he say about Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super Bowl? Was that...
I don't think I heard a question about that.
Well, then I'm not paying attention.
Look at you.
I'm sticking to it. Look.
They're going to play football games again. You know that, right?
Yeah, and it's not insulting to Belichick. It's not even insulting to the reporters. I refuse to acknowledge any of the idiocy. Or any of the folly that is having a Bill Belichick press conference anymore. There's no point to it. He won't answer the most important question that this fan base has had in recent years. He won't answer it. So if he's not going to answer that, I'm not interested. He's not going to say anything of any interest. The only thing that would be interesting, the only thing I'm interested in hearing from Bill Belichick is why Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl. And he didn't answer it then. He's not going to answer it now. He's not going to say anything. So we can talk.
Well, Matt Patricia said it was packages. It was packages. his packages.
Yeah, everybody I talked to may have had a hand in that. It wasn't packages.
Yeah. Well, that's a lie.
You know when people are going to really start to feel a little bit better by this?
You're about saying this? That Matt Patricia doesn't tell the truth?
I'm saying that nobody is saying anything about the most important question that everyone has about this.
It's like when you're going to have a deposition, you jump off the stage, everybody get together so we get our story straight.
I wish that Matt Patricia had said packages with as much conviction as he said. He did not sexually assault that woman down in Texas. Then it might be a little bit more believable.
It's fun to goof on the lacrosse questions and, like, you know, goof on
goof?
The...
That was, goof? That was horrid.
That was obnoxious.
No, it's. I'm saying it's fun to
that
like,
wasn't
goof
even
on that,
Mark
but,
Dondero.
But really, to try and glean anything from anything Belichick has to say, no, it's all nonsense to me. It's all nonsense until we finally get an answer from somebody as to why Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl.
Okay, but there's still things going on with the team, including the quarterback and the tight end not being there.
We got to carry
it. And it's still worthwhile to see if he's going to say anything about that,
right,
Hardy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you want to check out on him going forward, but I wanted to know if he was going to say anything about those two guys.
I'm in full support, but you knew he wasn't.
I didn't know that.
But we got him now with in front of people, in front of reporters.
This is such a strange time, Hardy. I don't know what that guy is going to say or not say anymore. I didn't expect him to come out a month ago and say, well, it's voluntary. What?
I wanted to see if he used that word today.
Yeah, I wanted to see if he wanted to come out with that thing again.
It was not used at all once.
Is that something he's ever done for a player?
I thought he was going to get out in front of this today. I really did.
Stress that the sessions are voluntary? I don't remember him ever doing that.
Phase three ain't voluntary, boys. You're meeting in the mornings at 7 a.m. as an offense. That's
That might be true. The conditioning part he sort of looks at is, well, if a player misses that, they miss it.
You know what?
But once it's time to like get to work and 7-on-7 and 11-on-11, where the hell are you?
And to speak to this being a strange time, you know what's strange to me? I didn't think it was going to happen this quick. Do you remember when Gronk was doing all of his silly stuff at the Supercross and not showing up and they're working out next door? And he's not doing any of that stuff. And it's, you know, it's kind of bands of make or dance and all that stuff. Like, all right, this is all the play to get more money. That's what Zoe said from day one. After the Super Bowl, when Gronk said he didn't know if he was going to play anymore, and it's just a thing to get more money. Thing to get more money, right? And all that obnoxious stuff that he was doing with not showing up and not talking about it. We talked about it here, like, all right, he's going to get himself a new deal, but they're going to have to wait. They can't do it right away and look like they're giving in.
Gronkowski's his money. Brady's his mental.
What do we hear about? What are they doing with Rob Gronkowski as we speak?
They're restructuring his contract.
They're going to give him a contract Thursday, the first day that they can eligibly do it. Right.
Right. Correct.
So they're giving in.
So here's where.
They're 100% rolling over for that.
Well, he's like, the best tight end to ever play. You make exceptions for guys that outplay their deal.
I don't know.
It's a little bit. You got to be smart about it here. A little bit. I know everything's structured a certain way down there, but
to me, smart is
two guys separate from the situation that they aren't there.
To me, smart about it is not doing it right away so quickly and obviously to where it tells other people and other players and other agents, oh, you can treat the Patriots like any other team. They'll cave. Look what Rob Gronkowski did.
A little different when you're one of the best to ever play the position and you're going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Not a lot of players fit into that category. Hall of Fame players are a different category.
And I'm sure that the guy that runs the whole thing, the
most guys,
but they've never treated any player like he was indispensable like that.
They treated Rob Gronkowski like that a year ago. They readjusted his deal 1 year ago.
But you know the guy calling the shots wants to be treated that way too. So in the back of his mind, I want to be the highest paid. When Gruden comes back, I better get a kicker in. And that guy's got one.
But I never thought that was their mindset. I mean, they went and won a Super Bowl without him. Like, you know, why is he necessarily now the guy that can hold the team hostage?
Is he holding the team hostage? Is he staying away from mandatory things?
They've never had a Hall of Famer outside of Randy Moss.
Put it this way, Zoe. If he wasn't going to get his new deal, do you think he'd show up?
I think he'd show up for mandatory minicamp, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure he would.
I'm not sure he would either.
617-779-0985. We are going to talk some more football today. The NFL owners' meetings continue today. I got some thoughts on that. We will get back to your Celtics calls. Let's do that. I know you've been waiting, and we'll do it right after this.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of news.
Beadle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
They were badly outplayed, I thought, most of the game. They played better in the second half defensively, allowed only, 44 points in the second half. But they still gave up 68 in the first half, and they can't do that again in this series, or they're going to lose. The shots will go in, are more likely to go in, the threes especially, are more likely to go in at home than they were on the road, and that'll help somewhat. But LeBron's here now, and LeBron's saying, I can get 40 a variety of different ways, and that's what I'm going to do.
I am Superman. Wrong song.
Oh,
wrong song. Oh, did you sing that over the air? Did you open your mic for that or no?
I did.
Oh, you did. Whoa.
Whoops. I got fooled.
Whoops. 617-779-0985. Georgie Methuen on last night's Celtics game.
Georgie.
George.
What's up, So?
Hi, how are you, pal?
How are you? No, I just want to hear about those people that called last when we were 2-0 last week.
Yep.
They wanted to trade Kyrie. They wanted to trade Hayward. This is why we brought these guys here for a game like yesterday.
Want to keep Rozier, right?
That's a good day for that. You know it was a good day for this call.
Better upside with Rozier.
Yeah, I heard those.
Yeah, no, no. That's why those guys are here. They
better value.
For that. Right.
Better value, yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. Is that it?
Yes, that's
great
it.
Great call. Great call. Way to go, George. Way to go. Great day for that. Hey, you idiots. You guys that want to trade Kyrie and Hayward.
617-779-0985.
Love that. Hell of a call. It's so true. You look at a game like last night. Do you think Kyrie and Gordon Hayward get rattled by the road like some of these younger guys do?
Well, I think Kyrie would put a lot of those layups off the high glass and over the other side of the rim without ever so much as touching the iron. I think Kyrie's known for that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Once he gets to the hole, completely missing the goal altogether.
Yeah, last night would have been a great game for Kyrie Irving because you look at that game and say, the Celtics so desperately just need someone to take over at times, get to the basket, score, be someone who can silence a crowd. That is who Kyrie Irving is. Like him, love him, hate him, whatever it is, you know that he has the ability to do that. And last night, they needed someone like that. They needed Kyrie Irving last night. And they needed to hit their damn layups.
You guys talked about the missed dunks Zoe did at the top of the show. I've never seen so many missed dunks. And some of them were defended. But how about this? A, the ones that weren't defended.
No,
and
weren't.
B, and B.
I didn't think they were defended.
Some of them were, but at least draw a foul. If you're going to lose the ball, you've got the ball above the rim. Just slam it home. And somebody blocks you and you don't draw a foul off of that.
Did you?
And there were a few at least where nobody touched and they just missed.
You catch when Rozier got fouled on the three and went to the line and missed the first two shots.
Oh, yeah.
And they kept showing his mother and grandmother in the crowd.
Yeah.
Did you catch that moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice
you know
moment.
Why I missed those first two?
Because he shouldn't have been there in the first place and the ball don't lie.
Rattled. He was rattled. And he settled down and made the third one. He's like an 80% free throw shooter. And he missed the first two.
But
he didn't just clank.
Jaylen Brown's
had the same thing. They were clunkers.
And you know what? Fine. He shouldn't have been there in the first place.
That wasn't a foul.
That was the biggest.
No, I know that.
That was the biggest blown call of the game.
I'm just saying, you got the call. You got to the line. And, I mean, was he even touched? That was a bad call.
No,
it was a really bad call.
Ball don't lie, Beetle.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Sheedy.
It's true.
He looked like he couldn't handle that. Crowd got on him because the call was bad. So the crowd got upset. The crowd starts hooting and hollering, and he misses the first two. And I thought, oh man, the road.
Jaylen Brown even
the
said
road
it.
Is not friendly to this guy.
He said we're going too fast. We're too pumped up, too amped up. We've got to slow down. That's why they were missing dunks and layups.
Joe is in Hingham. Joe.
Hey guys, just a couple of quick points on the Celtics. Number one. To everybody that's freaking out about this series, they're absolutely crazy. The Celtics are undefeated at home this postseason, and they have two chances to win at home and win the series at home. Second, Aaron Baines needs to start just for the sake of getting Tristan Thompson off of Al Horford. Al Horford struggles so badly when Tristan Thompson is on him, and... You know, really, you need Al Horford if you're going to win the series.
You need him early. He didn't hit his first shot until 8 minutes left in the second quarter.
Yeah, exactly. So you need him to get going early, and you need him to really get the matchup that he should be, and that's against Kevin Love.
Okay. Don't disagree with anything of what you're saying. Al Horford, last couple of games, has been really has not been able to give the Celtics what you're looking for.
Yeah, thanks, Brad.
He hasn't elevated.
He should say thanks, Brad, for that. They made a switch. Brad didn't make the switch. It put Horford in a tough spot.
Part of me, though, says...
This is where the people that don't take Horford come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, this is where you say, okay, you know what? That's true. Everything that you're saying about the matchup is true. And Tristan Thompson has been very good in this regard. At some point, can you expect the player to maybe beat him? Can you expect Al Horford to be the better of the players? Can you expect him to beat a tough
that,
matchup?
Yes. You can
beat a tough
that,
matchup
yes.
now and again?
I'm past that, yeah. I'm not putting a dollar figure with him and all that.
He's the one guy that
Tell me he's played great. It's just been a tough matchup. He hasn't played great.
He's the one guy in LeBron's post game that LeBron spoke of other than himself. You know, it's all about me. I got to give it up to God for giving me these blessings and doing what I can do to win this game. And when Doris Burke asked him about the other, you know, about the Celtics and Al Horford specifically, he gave a lot of praise to Al. So it's once again following the narrative that he's out there, he's doing stuff. We just don't always see it, but he's making everybody better. He's a factor. At least LeBron said so last night.
Well, no one else has had to deal with Tristan Thompson because Al Horford's been dealing with him. You can put it in that frame.
Some of those switches last night, by the way. Good grief. I mean, sometimes it looks like they're switching for the sake of switching. Like, what do you think? You got him covered. Why don't you leave it alone? Why don't you leave it alone for a second and see if you have any better luck? Because they're getting shots off sometimes during the switch.
Well, you know why? Because have you seen Jason Tatum try to run through a screen? He just, as soon as the first sight of contact, he stops.
But Jim,
fight through it.
There were switches last night when a guy's out on the perimeter, like, we're going to get somebody else on him. Let's go ahead and pull the switch right now. And while they're doing it, the guy's standing there by himself. He's like, oh, I guess I'll just shoot while they're in the midst of changing defenders. It was like a defensive line change in hockey. Oh, here's an opportunity. Let's score right now.
617-779-0985. We've heard from Bill Belichick today on, well, not much. He was asked about Tom Brady not being there, Rob Gronkowski not being there. He decided not to speak about guys who are not there, choosing only to speak about the players who were at OTAs. Tom Brady did not show today.
You know, it's funny, too, and I'm scanning.
As expected on this show. As expected.
Right. He'll be there June 5th. The scanning, the crowd, you know, the people that are there interviewing, you see all the sports guys, and then you get the Jonathan Hall types are there. They're in the background. So they've even sent the local news to try and get a soundbite. I just wonder if anybody did any more digging down here.
But practice is underway. OTA Phase 3
underway
in Foxborough today. The NFL owners are getting back together for a meeting. There's some things that will be discussed at those meetings. In fact, I'll tell you what some of that is. And we'll continue talking Gronk and Brady as well. That's coming up in 90 seconds.